This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The best barbecue in Memphis can be found at Topps Barbecue. Y'all know that. We got a brand new location right there on Hacks Cross. Locations all around Memphis. They don't have just barbecue, though. They got those delicious cheeseburgers. They got the fire-braised chicken sandwich. Great way to kick off your weekend. So get on by. Stop by Tops. Tell our friends we said hello and get yourself and treat yourself to some delicious food.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner. So you can do it all day long, baby, over at Tops. And they've been doing it for a long time, 70 years and still smoking. And it's been going that long. Why? It's because they got the best. As John said, the best barbecue. Try something new. Want to try something new? Get that Fireman Burger if you haven't had it. It took me a while because in many locations, not on the menu, but you can get it. Ask for it. It's that fantastic barbecue on top of their burger. That smoked bologna sandwich is something, too. Something for the ages. Half-inch thick piece of bologna smoked to Tops perfection only way that, and only the way that they could. Go try it for yourself. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. Hey, Saturday morning, wake up tomorrow. Breakfast at Tops. How good does that sound? Try that hash brown. You'll love it as well. You know I'm a hash brown man. Tops Barbecue. 70 years and still smoking.
So do we have any clarity on the Mandela effect, Jason, over the break? Do we get any?
Yeah. I guess everybody's telling me that Frankenstein is not one, so I'm going to go ahead and say case closed.
Case closed. Yeah, the most famous one is...
It's very confusing, the Frankenstein thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. The most famous one is... the fact that Darth Vader never said, Luke, I am your father. He never said that.
Because we all say, Luke, I am your father. As we all say Frankenstein.
Well,
I'm done with it.
Okay. I don't want to, like, continue to...
If I take it to the Supreme Court, though...
Right. Like student loan debt.
I really might get that turned over.
Well, yeah. I mean, if the case you're presenting sort of skews conservative, for sure, you'll definitely get the result you're
That's
looking for.
Exactly.
So, Yeah, you will get your desired results, my man. Speaking of which, just any thoughts on, you know, the student loan cancellation or anything like that while we're on the subject?
Well, I have no student loans. That's for my wife. Question
yeah,
for her.
That, to be honest, man, that was unfortunate because, you know, my wife and I, we embraced when that news dropped.
I know
she's
got
lots of student loan debt. I'm assuming millions and millions and millions of other Americans did the same thing. And that is not happening, folks. Let me ruin the party for you. That is not going to, you know, again, I guess, you know, the Supreme Court's job is to determine the legality of it, you know, and is there some, you know, the administration feels pretty confident in the legality of it. So I guess we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see. But that's been going on this week as well. Just something, you know, something to monitor, right? Something that's important in my household. I'd love to.
It's important in a lot of households.
Yeah, get that weight off,
my
man.
Because
it is absolutely a weight. We've talked a lot about college basketball today here on the show, but there is a big nationally televised game for the Memphis Grizzlies on ESPN tonight. Of course, right here on 92.9 FM ESPN against the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets, of course, came in here last weekend and got run out of the building. So revenge is going to be fresh on their minds. Grizzlies going for four straight. I believe this would be four straight wins tonight for the Grizzos. No Steven Adams and John Morant apparently dealing with a nasal fracture. What do you realistically expect in this one tonight?
I don't know. Hard to know just because it's hard to know what you're going to get from John Morant. I know you mentioned he's available and everything else, but is he playing with a mask? How much is he having to adjust to it, if so, and how much of it is affecting you know, how aggressive he can be, because that's
right.
It feels like we've had angry Ja Morant here of late, and you just wonder if he's having to deal with a covering or something like that. Is he that, how much of a distraction is that? You figure it would be, especially with a guy that's, you know, for the most part, sort of been in the zone here since a post All-Star break, and really determined, it feels like, on getting on leading them back to swagger, take your word for it.
Right.
Just hope it doesn't affect that, you know, what he's been doing, because it does. It feels like you've gotten some of that back. Don't want to lose any of it when, you know, with you in terms of your leader, the guy who sets the tone.
Right.
As far as Denver, I don't know. Like we said, in terms of this game itself, I think it's probably more important, especially with the way they're playing, that Sane made the point, you go 2-1, you get the 2 in L.A. You get the Clippers, who are playing poorly. I think it's 4 in a row they've lost now.
Yep.
And that you beat a Lakers team that's clearly got no business beating you now. And doing that on the road is important. Again, Denver's best team in the West for a reason. It's going to be tough to beat them there. They've been, you could argue, just as good at home as you have been. That said, I'm with Sane that the more important games to me on this little quick three-game road trip before you get to Golden State. And by the way, all four are nationally televised. All four of these next four games are televised. It's getting the last two. Because remember, too, you're expecting hopefully to have Steven Adams back for those. I would hope those two. That's the back half of the road trip.
Yeah, I mean, those are the – I mean, just – to me, this is like a. I mean, I know it's for the season series, but it's just sort of a scheduled loss the way it played out. I mean, if it was a little bit closer of a game in Memphis, you know, like maybe I'd feel a bit better about it. But I think that number is telling you a lot. I think it's doing a lot of work here. You know, what was the final in that game?
Well, it wasn't 30. It was 112-94.
Okay, 112-94.
But they handled 20. Business.
Yeah, like there was never
season low shooting percentage, yeah. I believe, and points for Denver.
Yeah,
because the D's back.
Right,
it has been of late.
Right. I mean, I'm assuming, you know, Aaron Gordon's going to play in this one. You know, Michael Porter Jr. is listed as day to day, but that number is telling you that, you know, the majority of those guys are expected to play. So. Yeah, I mean, it's a national televised game. It's in Denver. It's in altitude. You know, it's probably – look, if you win this game, then good grief.
Well, then I think you're feeling really good.
Really good. I mean, because you're starting to sort of, like, get it going as the season is winding down here and we're getting close to the postseason.
Well, and you hadn't done it against Western Conference contenders on the road all season long. So that would represent something new and a different sort of accomplishment level for you, and you need to do that. Because in the end, in these playoffs, you know, yeah, you're hoping to have home court advantage through two rounds if you're the number two seed, but in the end, your push is going to depend on your ability to win on the road. The best teams are able to pull that off. And so as bad as they've been, yeah, this is part of that. This is part of getting in that mode. Because it had been such a weakness for them.
Yep.
So, again, you're never going to go to all of a sudden they're just some dominant road team, but get off of the floor. Hopefully Houston was the start of that process.
Yeah, well, and then, by the way, I mean, speaking of teams that are getting it going, Steph Curry's probably coming back this weekend.
And they're playing well without him.
Yeah, I mean, Trista said last night on Twitter, I don't know if I would agree with this, but she did say on Twitter she thinks the Warriors will be favored in every series they're in if all of their guys are healthy. I mean, I don't know if they're favored in the 4 or 5, if they're the 5 with Phoenix. I don't know. I think that would probably be a coin flip, I think. Maybe they're slight favorites. I do think they would be favored against the Nuggets. I do think they'd be favored against the Grizz. I do think they would be favored against the Sacramento Kings. Like, it's kind of crazy the way they've played themselves in a little bit of a possum situation here where they're just kind of sneaking up. They haven't really played together all year long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's been Wiggins or Steph. Like, that's still, like, and that's why I was on them, you know? Like, and I regret heartily that I did not fire a dart while they were still plus 2,000, Jason. That's the dart that we should have thrown, because they're already at plus 1,200 now. I'm not saying they're going to repeat, but you tell me Steph, Clay, and Draymond are on the court, Wiggins and Poole, like, they're going to have a chance to win every series they play. You know, and look, the Grizzlies got to nut up at some point. I mean, that's just part of it. You know, like, you can't just keep letting these folks, you know, big boy you. You know, at some point, you got to stand up to the bully. So I don't know if that happens. I don't know if they're going to be on a collision course for that to happen. But if it does, you know, at some point, you've got to do it. But I do hate the matchup, because we haven't seen them do it. And the Warriors are coming, man. They're coming.
Yeah, 19 for Kuminga off the bench in that game. Poole had 34. You'd expect that from him. You have to get it from him when Steph Curry's out. But the 19 for Kuminga. And then Draymond, as bad as I talk about him, he had 11, 9, and 9. Like, critical in a game like that where you're playing an experienced team like the Clippers. And that's the part about it, too. They don't have Steph, but you got Paul George, Kawhi Leonard both playing, you know, 30, 27 minutes. You got Westbrook starting, playing 28 minutes. Eric Gordon's playing 34 minutes, and you get blown out by 24.
Yep.
Oof.
Yep. That's
shows you two things. Shows you these Clippers. Yep. I was a fool to ever jump on or believe in them. And as far as Golden State, you're right. Like that, you're that much of a threat now. You figured things out to that degree without Steph. Well, he ain't going to mess you up. He's only going to make you better.
Because I think they look at it like this. We got one more go at this. Because Draymond's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They've made it clear in terms of not signing to an extension. Right? I think that's clear.
So you have this is a swan song for a Golden State. I mean, this is it. I'm not saying they're going to win the championship, but I think there is going to be some urgency to do it. You know, and you know, those guys come together and go as hard as they can to do it because they just know that time is ticking. Not even just on Draymond, but like Steph's 30-something, 34, 35. Like, it blew my mind the other day. It feels like just yesterday he brought Riley up on the podium, you know, and she was like 2 years old. She was so cute. Now she's like full-blown grown. Damn near, like it's crazy. Like she's a teenager. I mean, you know, she may not be a teenager, but she looks like a teenager. So like Steph's been in the league for a long time, you know. And I will give him his flowers, by the way, just so you know.
He'll be 35 in 11 days. Just checked.
Yeah, like that's getting up there, man.
He is.
You know, now his game hasn't fallen off, but you feel like a guy. He depends on his quickness.
Mm-hmm.
To get open.
I'm talking about with Chris Alt. It's the constant movement. It's not just the quickness. You have to be in a crazy kind of shape. He doesn't stop moving.
No, he is in great
unless
shape.
He's completely out of a play. It's ISO for Clay.
Yep.
And he's stopped in a corner somewhere. But typically, he's on the move the entire game.
Has there been a player
be in that kind of shape?
Like Steph?
Rip and Reggie Miller used to do similar things.
Well, Reggie played was for a long time. I mean, Reggie was up there, right?
Yeah. And well, look at the shape Reggie stayed in for most of his career. Like, he's the same size his entire career. But Rip was like that, constantly on the move, Hamilton, and then Reggie Miller was the other guy that comes to mind. I just think constant movement, constant coming off screens just didn't stop in an offense.
Reggie played from 1990 to 2005. And even as late as, I mean, he averaged double figures his whole career. I mean, there was never a season that he averaged less than 10.
He just played in the wrong era, the Mike era.
Man, did he ever. That's a good point. You don't ever hear people say that. That dude would be like a 15-time All-Star.
Dude, he was
a beast.
This time. And so consistent. Like
He shot 51% that was from the field. But he shot 43% from three in 97, 98, which is like not when people didn't take threes then. Mm. You know what I mean? It was just not a thing that you did. I mean, 40% shooter from three for his career. I mean, pretty crazy. So that's what I said 90 to – he actually – his rookie year was 87. So 87 to 05. That's 18 years. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Steph came in what, 08?
Sounds about right.
So 17 years. Sure. So that would be three more years of Steph.
It was the 08 draft. 09 draft.
Two more years. Two or three more years of Steph. If we're just going off the Reggie. You know, maybe we've had some advances and there's more rest now. So maybe it's a little bit. But, like, in terms of effectiveness, you know what I mean? That's the question. Trying to think, like, I mean, Reggie was pretty consistent. He was 18, 19 a game until, I guess, 01, 02. He dipped down to 16. And that was kind of the end of it. But then it just kind of trailed off from there. But I just feel like in terms of just the desperation for this franchise, like, it's been a great run. It's been a run any franchise would crawl over glass to have.
Yeah.
But it is coming to an end. I mean, it is. Like, so this is – I think they kind of are aware of that. Like, they know, hey, this is our last chance to do this while we're all, you know, together and, you know.
I wonder if Steve will move on too.
Yeah, why not?
He doesn't seem like the sort of career coach that's
agreed.
Necessarily feels like he needs to be in it.
Agreed. Well, he's got nothing left
to try to
prove.
Catch Phil Jackson or something. You know, he doesn't seem like the type.
And then it's like a rebuild.
That maybe he goes sort of with this iteration and Clay, Draymond, Steph.
you know, maybe he wants to get back in it in 5 years or something, you know, like maybe he gets, he just.
But do you think he, do you hold Steve Kerr in that high regard? Like, Phil Jackson coached some Hall of Famers,
yeah,
and we still hold him up as one of the best.
I think Steve is there. Well, not on Phil's level, but I think he's in the conversation for like great NBA coaches.
And the best thing he does is
strategy. I mean, I think his
the strategy is just Steph go get him.
I think he's really good at. He's a little Belichickian in the sense of he's great at maximizing his opponent's weaknesses. He's good at really exposing them and you know, like targeting them. Like Bill will take your best player out of the game, and I think, like I think about that series where they just left Tony in the corner. I don't think most NBA teams would have done that. I think most NBA teams would have, you know, still guarded him, maybe with a worse defender, but they just completely ignored
him. No, I think those are fair points. I think it's interesting because if I asked you who the best coaches in the league. The top three is Steve Kerr in that conversation very often.
Right,
if you ask 100 people.
Well, he should be. I mean, Pop is obviously
is going to be the one for anybody.
But I mean, he just hasn't been relevant. So I'll go Pop. I'll go Steve. I mean, it's way too early to put Mazzulla in there, so I'm not doing that. You know, Ty Lue, but like, look at. I mean, I think Ty Lue's a really good coach. I think Ty Lue is a really good coach.
By his peers, Ty Lue is definitely in the top three.
Yeah. But I think you might get a little bit of pushback. Then maybe it'd be recency bias because this Clippers season hasn't been as good as but like, you know, Doc, no. Budenholzer, no. Monty?
Mm-mm.
Trying to think of like
I'm not putting Monty on a top three list.
Like of current.
Yeah.
Spoelstra. And I think Spoelstra might be the one. Yeah. Yep. I think that is that's the three. And there are some like young up and coming, like Will Hardy, Joe Mazzulla, you know, the Oklahoma City coach whose name, Dagnalt, I think is his name. You know, like they're in, JB's doing a hell of a job with Cleveland. Nobody would accuse him of being a top three coach right now, but I mean, I think the job he's done is undeniable. You know, Nick Nurse, you felt like maybe would have been in that group,
mm-mm.
but that Raptors team has fallen apart. So I think that's like, you know, Rick Carlisle with the Pacers, right? But his team's bad. Mm-hmm. So I can't put him up there. So I think those are the three. Steve, Greg, and Spoelstra. Those are the top three. And then, like, outside of that, you've got Taylor Jenkins. You know, you've got, you know, Mazzulla, Bickerstaff. Who's the – is it still Thibodeau in New York?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if anybody thinks too highly of him.
Used to.
Yeah, certainly did.
I think most did. And he'd finish high in Coach of the Years and has won one.
No, I mean, nobody really thinks Jason Kidd's a good coach, even though I think he has shown some flashes of that. Ty Lue is definitely up there. Ty Lue is probably fourth.
He's not third, I mean, yeah, I think you give Ty Lue what Golden State has. He's probably doing close to the same thing. If he's not pushing out Kerr, to your point. That's my whole thing. I think people name out Ty Lue before they name out Steve Kerr. But you're right that Kerr is a definite top five and maybe in most people's top three. I just don't – when we have discussions about the best he rarely comes up.
Well,
and maybe that's chalked
penalize,
more to the players.
They do. You get penalized.
And you hold him in very high regard, and I think you made some very fair points. I just think – I've got others in front of him, but you've made it clear, in terms of you look at everybody else, he's a top five.
I think
– top five, top six.
Because when you think about playoffs, like there are things he does, you know, at the margins that show up. Like even against the Celtics in the regular season, he kind of caught him off guard there in TD Garden, and he started Jordan Poole. You know, like he'll do that. They didn't end up winning. It went to overtime. The Celtics won. But, like, Golden State was on their way to winning that game before they choked. So I just think he'll do some things, you know, that are tricky as an NBA coach that usually actually result in big-time swings in playoff series. So that's why I kind of have him up there. We'll come back. Dane Bradshaw is going to join us. We'll talk to him about college basketball, get his thoughts on Memphis, Tennessee without Ziegler, the rest of the SEC.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum
of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Dane Bradshaw is a Wife Station Spartan, the Tennessee Volunteer, and SEC Network college basketball analyst. He joins us now. Dane, what's up, man?
Been too long. How are you guys?
Man.
Agreed. Been too long.
You know what we said? We said it's an absolute joke that we have not had Dane Bradshaw on this show in as long as it's been.
Joke!
So I said, like, I started smashing some things around my house.
Smashed down there! Smashed!
Just to see what kind of, you know, things we needed to do to get you on the show. So it's good to have you. What did you? I mean, I'm assuming that you see that and it brings back maybe some PTSD of playing for Pearl back in the day.
Oh man, so I can remember when we lost to Ohio State in the Sweet 16. Thanks for such a pleasant introduction.
Absolutely.
Well,
that's what we do, man. Welcome back to the Memphis Airwaves.
Yeah. And we lost 17 point lead in the Sweet 16. And I do recall Coach in the locker room next to us, the kind of coach's locker room. I mean, he was going nuts because Chris Lofton, I don't know, maybe he didn't go to the free throw line one time or something. He's like, yeah, you know, freaking All-American that doesn't go to the line one time. And so he's got a chip on his shoulder. And so, yeah, I've seen the red face and the emotion in person there. And, you know, but everybody that hadn't followed Auburn basketball, man, they've gotten a really tough whistle on the road this year. It was at Tennessee, at West Virginia. There's another one I'm missing, but there's been some times where, you know, he loses a big game on Saturday on the road and he gets a call Sunday morning, you know, from saying, hey, yeah, we reviewed that with the officials. They missed it or whatever. And so it wasn't just about that game. That's the season built up frustration where they feel like they've been on the wrong end of the stick there.
But John and some other listeners real quick reminded me that it started with Buzz recruiting you there. You didn't have Pearl the whole time, did you,
That's right. Yeah, I had two years under Buzz Peterson, and then Bruce came in my junior year.
That's what we thought. How tough is it going to be without Ziegler for them?
Boy, very tough. He's the head of the snake defensively. He's their leader. He is he's not a great shooter from outside, but a capable one. He's a playmaker for others. But I think they can overcome it because of if this happened early in the season where they didn't have as good of a seeding because of his impact, but because it looks like they'll probably be a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, I think they can still be a Sweet 16 team without him. Because the one thing you do knock Tennessee on is, man, they don't have that superstar. They don't have that guy that can just go get his own bucket. But in this case, because they're so balanced, I think it makes it a little bit easier to overcome. And they've got some other guys that aren't maybe natural point guards, but have played that position throughout their career. And Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan James, Tyree Keyes, a transfer that's played some minutes there. So they hang their hat on their defense. And as good of a defender he is, the rest of the team, they got lockdown defenders everywhere. So they're just going to have to rely on their defense even more heavily, given some of the Jekyll and Hyde tendencies they have on offense, especially with him out.
Yeah, you just hate that it happened, you know, in March too, right? Like that's going to be a recovery. I mean, I know guys are recovering quicker than ever from ACLs, but you know, we know that's something that could, you know, bleed over into next season as well. You know,
and that's so inspiring though. Like you're exactly right, but his underdog story, he was under recruited. Then last year, his mom's house apartment burns to the ground, and the whole GoFundMe thing by the UT fan base and others. And he just, everybody is just rallies around this. That guy was put on earth to inspire people, and I really feel like this injury is going to, you know, just be part of a chapter of him overcoming more adversity, because I think he's going to go down as one of the most well-liked, most popular Tennessee players of all time.
Now, you played in half-attended Memphis, Tennessee, 08?
Barely anybody.
It was decently.
I had, when the rivalry got back on track, we were at Memphis, Cal versus Bruce, the Willie Kemp recruitment process. So we lost to Memphis there. Then we got Memphis at home my senior year. And would have played them in the Elite Eight had we not blown that lead to Ohio State. But that number one, number two game was the year after I left.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was after you left. Gotcha. Okay. Well, but you have been in some big games. And as a Memphian, they have, for the first time ever at FedEx Forum, they are hosting the number one team in the country. Any advice for the Houston Cougars as to what to expect in that environment on Sunday?
I'm a Memphis guy, man. I'm not giving Houston any. I think one thing that if I'm Houston, it's, hey, don't abandon the game plan. Like, when these types of environments happen, sometimes guys go outside of the scouting report temporarily. Maybe they make a few threes they don't ordinarily make. A role player is all of a sudden getting hot because he's using the energy of the crowd, and they just kind of play above themselves. But, you know, just not getting rattled and staying composed. And on the flip side, I think for Memphis, it's, you know, use the crowd to your advantage and don't allow it to all of a sudden make you start playing hero ball because you want to be the next guy to get the crowd on its feet and that sort of thing. So I think Memphis has a veteran team. They'll handle it well. There's going to be a lot of hype to it. Everybody knows how big of a game this is, although it looks like Memphis has done enough to, you know, you don't want to be one of those last four buys or last four in before champ week, because there's bid stealers everywhere that are going to knock those dudes out. So you would sleep a lot better at night if you got this win, but they seem to be pretty somewhat safe without it.
What do you think of Houston? I mean, they are the odds-on favorite right now to win the championship from most sports books. The criticism you'll hear is that, oh, they play in the American, they're not battle-tested, which I throw that out. I mean, we've seen so many teams over the years come from smaller leagues. St. Peter's was not battle-tested, and they beat Kentucky in the first round and got all the way to the Sweet 16. So, or was it the Elite Eight? They got the Elite Eight last year. So, like, I kind of throw that out. But what do you make of Houston as a national championship contender? Do they have enough offensively to do that?
I think they do. If I was filling out a bracket today, would I pick Houston to win it all? Probably not. I haven't seen them game in, game out. I saw their last game against Memphis, where Memphis obviously showed really well without Kendrick Davis. I think when you look at some of the teams out there that are so elite defensively, they don't have the efficiency on the offensive end to play that complementary style. And Houston does. They rebound the ball extremely well. They don't turn it over. They don't beat themselves. And so, I mean, those are the things you love about them. Maybe some of it is a brand thing where, admittedly, I sit there and say, gosh, am I really picking Houston to win it all? And so I think that's maybe some of the perception as well. But if you just played shirts and skins, I think you'd say, wow, you know, that's the team to beat. And they've earned that target on their back. But I just, even though they're ranked number one in the country, and they certainly deserve it, that top 10 is such a mixed bag. Like, you know, I think all those. And when I look at a team like Tennessee, for example, who I'm very familiar with, like, I tell those fans, hey, 1 through 10 doesn't really scare me as a Tennessee fan. The issue is, you know, it's teams like, you know, teams 11 through 45 could beat them too. And, but I don't look at Houston as one of those teams that's going to play down to their competition or necessarily get upset. I think they're going to be fine getting to a Sweet 16, and then obviously it becomes some pretty big time matchups from there.
What about Alabama and the chances that they, I guess, an SEC team hadn't won it since Kentucky did? Just realize you just said 1 through 10 doesn't really scare. Nobody scares me if I'm Tennessee, and we've certainly seen that. But in terms of them winning six games, we know they've got a star in Brandon Miller. How high are you on their chances, or down on Alabama's chances? John and I have been up and down on them all year long.
Yeah, I know it. And all right, so the positives for me are, with everything they've gone through off the court, I don't want to maybe use the word embrace the role of villain, but they haven't shied away from it either. And they've won these close games. And, you know, they seem to be playing extremely well together. And it's not just Brandon Miller at times. It's other guys. Brandon Miller was a little bit off the other night, and Javon Quinterly steps in and he steps up. They've shown that they can be vulnerable too. And, they've smacked some teams by 40 and 50, but you're not going to see those teams in the NCAA tournament. Right. Some of these others that have played them a lot closer in these 1-2 possession games, I think show that the margin between them and other teams that might even be, 7-8 type seeds in the NCAA tournament really isn't that wide. They turn the ball over a little bit too much. Their offense is good, and their defense, they've gotten back to that. But there's still a little bit of a hangover from last year in my eyes, where it wasn't the smartest team in terms of taking care of the ball, although their IQ is light years better than it was last year. They've got the star power. They've got guards. They've got an identity. I don't know that I would take them to win the SEC tournament just because they've done so well in the SEC. I just feel like it's a matter of time before somebody knocks them off, even though Tennessee got them. But I would still pick them to be the team that goes deepest out of the SEC in March.
Yeah, and then got to ask you, and I know they somehow swept Tennessee, but why is Kentucky so mid? I watch them, and I actually think Jerry Stackhouse has done a good job. As Jason will attest, I have been down on Kentucky all season long from the very first game of the season. Like, how did Cal let it get to a point, especially at guard, where it's just so average?
Yeah, and you have to give them credit for not just totally imploding after that loss at home to South Carolina.
Very true.
But I was I've been wrong on a lot of things, but I was high on Vanderbilt in that game only because, Kentucky's fooled us before. Every time we think they got it right, and oh boy, here comes Kentucky, that they slip up, and they as soon as you think they got their ball screen defense figured out, boom, guard play is horrible. Then they get that going, it's like boom, they can't make a shot to save their lives from the outside or whatever it is. It's that inconsistency. And Cason Wallace, their star freshman point guard, he rolled his ankle the other night. Xavier Wheeler, has been out with various injuries and then a medical situation. So his status is unknown. And they've got Arkansas on this last game. Perhaps they try to play that without a point guard to let Cason Wallace rest up for the big picture. And honestly, I think the freshman point guard needs it. I had a game with Kentucky a few weeks ago, and I asked Calipari that same question. I said, man, I know you're kind of saving the season. You got your 7-man rotation, but do you worry? Because you got CJ Frederick, who's injury prone. You got Cason Wallace, who's had some back spasms. He's just a freshman logging 35 plus minutes. And sure enough, CJ Frederick's beat up. Cason Wallace is beat up. And you don't have that depth. And you already weren't an overly talented team to begin with. So I'm not really bullish on Kentucky either, even though I do admire the fight and the way they've stuck together through some really a lot of criticism.
Yeah. Hey, Dane, man, appreciate your time
Thank you, brother.
Great to catch up, man. Thanks.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
Yep. He is Dane Bradshaw. Catch him on the SEC Network, college basketball analyst over there. He'll be on the SEC tournament Wednesday through Friday. Got to tell you about our friends at Shoot 360. You know what to do. Any hooper knows you got to practice. You got to put the time in. And that's what you can do with Shoot 360. They got technology that will blow you away. But it's not just about the technology either. They have birthday parties. So you can take the kids over there and you can rent out multiple courts. You can rent out the entire facility, get access to all those private courts, the technology, the skill station, lots of different options if that's what you want to do. 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Just think about the peace that you will have as a parent when your kid is napping after having his birthday party at shoot 360, right? Because that's what it's going to do. You're going to run all the energy out of them. It'll be peace. You'll feel good because, like we said, you hadn't paid an arm and a leg, got a great deal. And whether it's a birthday party or a membership, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to be feeling good. Your kid's going to be having a ton of fun and getting better at the game, markedly better. If you go out there and put the work in, you can get as good as you want to out at Shoot 360 because they've got it all for you. It's all in front of you. We call it the Future Basketball Training in Memphis. The future's now out at Shoot 360. To go put your face in the place. Check it out. Go see them at 85 Market Center Drive in Cairo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.